reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God, and it is good for us to hear the Word of God read and hear the Word of God taught. I just want to point out the fact that it is very disproportionate, the number of people sitting over here and over here. So now that you all recognize that, we can embrace the awkwardness in the room. It's okay. You have your seat. That's fine. A young boy had his aunt visit his family, and the aunt stayed with his family. But this young boy and this aunt didn't really get along. You know, it's not that they were enemies or anything. She just didn't take any interest in him, and he didn't really care for her all that much. Well, on the third day of her trip, the aunt came down sick. And maybe it was because of the weather. The weather was really bad. It was one of those days that it was like windy and cold and kind of rainy. It was what you would call an ugly day. You've seen a day like that before. So she was not feeling well. Maybe it was the barometric pressure that changed, gave her a headache, but she decided she was just going to lay on the couch and rest. Well, the little boy's mom came into his room and said, "Hey, I need to tell you something. Today is a really important, this is really important for you to do today. Aunt Sally is feeling under the weather today, so be extra nice to her." And the little boy said, "Okay, fine." So eventually he came out of his room and he saw Aunt Sally laying there on the couch, and he walked up to her and he said, "Mom said you look like the weather today, but I should still be nice to you." Now, is that the message that the mom gave the son? No, it's not even close, not even close to the same message. Well, we are in this study right now in the first two chapters of the book of Acts, and it is all about the church and what God is doing through the church. Jesus, our Savior, has given us a mission, has given the church a mission. It is the Great Commission, you may have heard it called before, and that is to go everywhere and share the gospel, to make followers of Jesus everywhere in the world. We are supposed to take this message of hope, this message of salvation to the world. And so, we need to make sure that we get this message right. We can't mess this up. We need to be very clear on the gospel. So maybe you are here today and you have been in church for a very long time, maybe decades. And you have heard lesson after lesson, message after message. And maybe because you have heard so much, you are a little unclear on what the central message of Christianity is. Or maybe you think to yourself, "Hey, I know the gospel. I've got that down. I don't really need to make sure that I've got it. It's already up in here." Well, maybe you are here today and you are new to the faith. You have just put your faith in Jesus recently. And you are learning more about the gospel, but you're not sure that you're clear on everything about it. Or maybe you're here today and you don't have faith in Jesus. You're just exploring Christianity and you are not sure what the gospel is. Whatever the case, I'm glad that you're here, and I encourage you today, open your ears, open your heart, so that you can understand the gospel with clarity, so that this message that we have been given to take out to the world, so that we would understand that with absolute clarity. We need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today we are going to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 36, which was just read. And we are going to review this message that we are supposed to take to the world. And as we do, we will see three parts of this message of salvation. Three parts of this message of salvation. Let's start with the first part. Number one, salvation is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. Imagine you get on Facebook or Instagram or you turn on the news or something like that and somebody comes on and they say, "I've got a huge announcement. This is the greatest discovery in the history of humanity. We have discovered a cure to aging. We have discovered a cure to all diseases. So now no one will ever die of aging or of disease." If they said that, you would probably be like, "Man, that's great news, isn't it?" I mean, some of you would probably be like, "I don't know, have you looked around the world? Like, aging and disease might be the least of our worries right now." But most of us would go, "That's really, really good news." If at the end of that announcement, that person said, "And this cure is available for the low, low price of $500 million, well, that changes things a little bit, doesn't it? That's not such great news anymore. Because their message of this good news is actually not a message for us. It's for someone else. When we talk about salvation, when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done to save us from our sins, we need to ask, who is this message for? Who is this message for? The Bible tells us. Verse 14, if you have your Bible open, look at it with me. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "Fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So who is this message for? Who is salvation for? Who needs it? Who is it offered to? Well, back in this time, the Jews, the Israelites, they understood that salvation was for the Jews. And if you wanted salvation, you had to join the Jews, you had to join their nation, then you would be saved. Salvation was for the Jews. But then Peter stands up, who is an Israelite, who is a Jew. And in verse 17, quoting from the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, he says, "And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people." All people, not just Jews, not just Israelites, all people. And he goes on in verse 21 to say, "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So who is salvation for? Who needs it? Who is it offered to? Everyone. Everyone. Not just Jews, not just Israelites, everyone. Salvation is for everyone. And then if you look at this, he even shares this message with these people who are accusing them, the Israelites, the people who are God's people in this time. He accuses them of being drunk when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Like, these are trolls, these are haters. And he even includes them in this message, and he invites them to trust in Jesus. He doesn't exclude them. You know why? Because salvation is for everyone. I was speaking with this guy one time down at the beach, and he reeked of alcohol. He was clearly drunk. I mean, he was wasted. And so as we were talking, he asked me what I do for a living, and I told him that I work at a church, that I'm a pastor. And immediately when I said that, a switch flipped in him. He started using language that was so foul it would make a sailor blush. He started telling these jokes that were really inappropriate, really adult, really crude. And when he started doing this stuff, in my heart, I felt like, man, this guy is vile. This guy is gross. Why am I even talking to him? And as I felt that, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this truth. Salvation is for everyone. Not just those people who seem to have their acts together. It is, salvation is for everyone. So I tried to share the gospel with him. I tried to invite him to put his faith in Jesus and accept this salvation, because salvation is for everyone. Now, we want to believe that, at least when it comes to the people that we know. We want to believe that. We want to believe that our family, our friends can be saved. We want salvation for the ones that we love. Could be that grandchild that is 4 years old that doesn't know her left hand from her right. It could be that child who is 30 that is going down a path that is leading them farther and farther away from God. It could be a spouse or a sibling that has no interest in faith at all. Or it could be that person, a friend that has gone through so much in life that they can't bring themselves to even consider the fact that God exists. Well, we know those people, we love those people, and we want salvation for them. We believe that they can be saved. But then on the other hand, they're a different type of people to us. The people who are irresponsible or annoying or rude or gross or arrogant or mean. And what we think about them is salvation is not necessarily for those people. Right? They're too far gone. They have done too much bad in their lives. Their hearts are too hardened against God. They have crossed us and they have crossed God one too many times. So salvation is probably not for them. Well, let's be reminded of this beautiful truth today. Salvation is for everyone. God offers them salvation in Jesus. He offers them forgiveness. And to be sure, many of them will not experience salvation. They will not put their faith in Jesus. But still, we have the responsibility to take the message of salvation to them, because salvation is for everyone. That's the first part of salvation that we see. There's a second part of salvation that we see here in this text. It is number two. Salvation is God's plan. Salvation is God's plan. I have kids. I love my kids most days. And, you know, that's a joke. I do love my kids. So when their birthdays roll around, it's a really big deal. You know, I want it to be special for them. I want it to be something that they will remember. And I'm sure you're the same way. You want to make your kid's birthday special. So what I do is I think about the stuff that they would like to do. I think about the stuff that would bring them joy. I think about the stuff that would make them happy. And then I make a plan to do those things on their birthday. So we might go to the trampoline park and then go to the pizza place and then go to the pool and then have ice cream and then go to another pizza place and then go to eat cake and then watch a movie and then do presents, something like that. But I love my kids so much that I want to make a plan for their birthday. I want it to be something they will remember. I love them so much that I make a plan. And by the way, when I say I really mean Bethany, my wife. She loves them so much that she makes a plan for their birthday. Well, look at what this verse tells us about salvation, or these verses, starting in verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by death. Did you hear that? Even though these people participated in the death of Jesus, it went according to God's determined plan. God has a plan. And when we look around the world, we see a lot that is wrong, don't we? Okay, if you don't say yes to that, I don't know if I can help. Yeah, of course we see a lot that is wrong. We see people who hate other people. People who are confused about how God made them. People who rebel against God. People who want to destroy what God has made. We see wickedness and we see evil. And what happens is when we see this, this anger and this fury boils up inside of us. And we don't say this out loud, but a lot of us feel like, God, can you please just judge them now? Can you just pour out what they deserve on them right in this moment? And part of that is righteous anger. Part of that is we see wickedness and we have a reaction to it that is good. God has righteous anger when he sees wickedness. But do you know what else God feels? He tells us in one of the most famous verses in all of the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. You see, God loves people, for God so loved the world. He loves people, so he made a plan to make salvation available to people in Jesus. In the same way that love drives you to make a plan for your kid's birthday, God's love for people drove him to make a plan for salvation. God's love drove him to make a plan. Now, of course, that's not the only reason. Also, because of his glory, he did this. But love drove him to make a plan. You see, salvation is God's plan. Here's where this hits us. Aren't there times in your life where you slip into sin? Aren't there times where you knowingly do what you know you shouldn't do? Maybe you fall into looking at things that you shouldn't look at, or gossiping with others, or losing control of your anger, or being unkind to your family, or cheating at work or school, or handling all of your resources with greed instead of generosity, or just lacking faith in God's plan for your life. Aren't there times that you slip into those things? What happens is we slip into sin, and then we know we shouldn't, so we begin to feel really guilty about it. And then that guilt can give way to maybe us questioning God's plan of salvation. Maybe we start to wonder, did God make a mistake in saving me? Maybe we ask, you know, I'm not good enough. Does God regret taking me as one of his children? Or is God embarrassed that he made this decision to bring me into his family? We can feel that way when we fall into sin. But remember this very important truth, this very important part of salvation. Salvation is God's plan. Your salvation is God's plan. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the Beloved One." Did you hear that? Before the foundation of the world, predestined. I mean, those are pointing to the fact that your salvation is not an accident. It is part of God's plan. So don't lose heart. Don't fall into despair. Don't question God's decision. Salvation, even your salvation, is God's plan. Or we could think about it from a different angle. Who is it in your life that you think is too wicked for God to reach? Is there someone that you think, you know, they have made bad decision after bad decision? They have made a mess of their life, and now they have to live with that. Who is it in your life that has done so many bad things that you think they are now unsavable? Who is it? Who is it that you look at and you think, you know what, I wish that they would be saved, but they are just out of God's reach. They have gone too far. Who is that? We can look at some people in our lives and we just think they have ruined themselves. This was not God's plan. They have just made too much of a mess. Whatever they have done, whoever you are thinking about right now, do you think that what they have done is worse than killing Jesus? Do you think that what they have done is worse than putting the Son of God to death? Do you think that what they have done is worse than the worst thing to ever happen in history? Because think about this. Peter is speaking to these people who had an active role in killing Jesus. And he tells them this was even part of God's plan. And then he offers salvation in Jesus to them. So today, I remind you that salvation is God's plan. And maybe he will save that person you're thinking about. Maybe he will show them grace. Maybe they will change. So don't give up on them. Salvation is God's plan. And guess what? You don't know God's plan. Maybe he has allowed all of this to happen in their lives. Maybe he has allowed them to make all of these decisions so that his name would be glorified even more when he saves them. Don't give up on them, because salvation is God's plan. That's the second part of salvation. And then there's a third part of salvation that we see here. It's number three. Salvation is in Jesus. Salvation is in Jesus. Something has happened, I think, and probably will happen again to everybody in here. You get a call from someone, maybe it's a roommate or a spouse or a family member, and that person says, "Hey, are you still at the house?" And you automatically go, okay, well, something's wrong at the beginning. I know that. You say, yeah, I'm still here. What is it? And they say, okay, before you leave the house, before you come up here, I need you to do something for me. I left something in the house. And I go, okay, all right, well, I'll grab it. Where is it? And that person says, that's the thing. I don't know where I left it. I do know it's in the house, and I'm almost positive it's not in the refrigerator. You know, you're like, okay, well, I'm glad you didn't leave your wallet in the refrigerator. That was going to be the first place. Where is it? That's what you're left wondering. Where can I find this? Well, when we talk about salvation, when we talk about forgiveness of sin, when we talk about being made right with God, our Creator, we need to be very clear about this part. We need to be very clear about where salvation is found. And we receive that answer in verse 32. Look at it with me. God has raised this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out what you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord declared to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Okay, two words there that we really need to pay attention to. Lord and Messiah. Now, Messiah, if you were to read this in Greek, which the New Testament is written in the Greek language, it's Christ. Okay, you've heard the word Christ before. And just to put this to bed, I thought when I was growing up that Christ was Jesus' last name. That's not true, okay? It's not his last name. Christ is a title. It is a word that means the promised one, the ultimate hero, the true savior. And it's referring to this savior of the world that God promised to send in the Old Testament. So that is what Messiah means. Lord, on the other hand, if you were to go back into the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, but it was eventually translated into Greek. And if you were to read it in Greek, Lord is what the name of God was translated as. So in Hebrew, it is Yahweh. In Greek, it is Lord. All right? Now, I know we're getting into the weeds a little bit, but this is the point. Jesus is God himself. He is God. And Jesus is the Savior, the promised one that brought salvation to the people. That is what Peter is getting at when he says that. And we could condense it down to this. Salvation is in Jesus. Salvation is in Jesus. So where can you find salvation? Where can the world find salvation? In Jesus. In Jesus alone. Acts chapter 4. So just a couple of chapters ahead of us, Peter stands up and he says that there is no other name under heaven by which people are saved. It is only Jesus. So I know that we know people that need to hear this message, that salvation is in Jesus. Friends, this is why it is so important for us to go out and to share the gospel, to share the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done to save us. Because salvation is in Jesus alone. And do you know that the world longs for salvation? The world longs to have their sins dealt with. The world longs to have their guilt lifted. The world longs to have someone to give them the life that they were made for. The world longs for salvation. And do you know where they're going to find it? In Jesus. Because salvation is in Jesus. Are you taking that message to the world? Let me ask you another question. Do you like mashed potatoes? No, I know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And yes, we are wearing the same shirt. Go ahead and get that out of the way. He was on stage earlier. I felt like I needed to say it. All right. Yeah. So do you like mashed potatoes? Well, if you say, you know what? No, I don't like mashed potatoes. The exit is right. No, I'm just kidding. Pretend you like mashed potatoes for a minute. Let's say that you've been working on mashed potatoes. You really like to make them, and you think you have this recipe that's really good. But the thing is, you didn't write the recipe down. You just got in there, and you put some stuff together. You added things to taste, and Ultimately, you made the greatest mashed potatoes in history. You took a bite and you were like, this is ratatouille type amazing stuff here. So you think, all right, this is so good. I'm going to go ahead and eat it right now, but I'm going to save a little bit of it. Because in 10 years, I want to eat this exact same thing again, and I don't remember how I made it. So you take these mashed potatoes, you decide that you are going to save these mashed potatoes for 10 years. Well, you have some options, okay? You could just leave them out on the counter for 10 years. You could do that. Probably not a good idea. Pretty sure that's how the bubonic plague got started. So you're probably not going to do that. You could put them in some Tupperware and put them in the refrigerator. You think that's going to last for 10 years? Probably not. I mean, in fact, we know that that's not going to work. Or you could put them in some sort of airtight container and put them in the freezer. Will they last 10 years? Have you ever heard of freezer burn? Yeah, it's awful. They're not going to last more than a few months that way. And even if you did happen to save them for 10 years, have you ever tried to reheat mashed potatoes that have been frozen? Oh, disgusting. I mean, if that's your thing, good for you. But no, that's not really mashed potatoes. And here's the thing. No matter what you do, no matter how you try, you can't save mashed potatoes for 10 years. You know that. Well, listen to me this morning. You have a way better chance of saving mashed potatoes for 10 years than you do of saving yourself from your sin. Now, you could put mashed potatoes in the freezer for 10 years and pull them out, and they might still kind of resemble that. But there is absolutely nothing that you could ever possibly do to save yourself from your sin. This is how the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 puts it. And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. Works of the law is things that you can do. And what he is saying here is there's nothing that you can do to save yourself from your sin. Nothing that you can do to justify yourself before God for your sin. Because salvation is only in Jesus. You know that, don't you? You also, all of us in here, you know people who haven't experienced this salvation, who are still set against God, whose sins are not forgiven. And there is nothing that they could ever do. No work of their hands, no thought of their mind, no feeling of their heart, nothing that they could ever do could save them from their sin. Salvation is found nowhere else. Salvation is in Jesus. So shouldn't we take this message of salvation to them? Where else are they going to hear this hope? Where else are they going to hear about Jesus if not from us? We must take it to them because salvation is in Jesus. Have you experienced the salvation? Today, if you say, I don't think I have, then you have never put your faith in Jesus, then you carry your guilt around for your sins still. And one day, you will stand before the judge of everything. And when that guilty verdict falls, there will be no escaping the punishment that you deserve for your sin, which is hell. There is nothing you can do to change that. But friend, there is hope. And that hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is what we want to be crystal clear on here at Anchor. And so I want to share the gospel with you this morning. If you are a Christian or if you are not, I hope that you listen to this. And I hope that you remember this. This is the gospel. You were created by God for a relationship with Him. But you have rejected God. Even though you owe Him your life, you have decided to live for yourself instead of for Him. The Bible calls that sin. And there is punishment for sin, the wrath of God. There is nothing that you could ever do to make up for your sin. Nothing that you could do to make it better with God. But there is hope for you. Because out of love for us, God sent His Son, Jesus, into the world to live the perfect life that we should have lived. And then to die a sacrificial death that we deserve. He died in our place for our sin. His life was a payment for our sin. And then after 3 days, he rose up from the grave. He trampled over sin and death. He eventually ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, to live in his people, to live in those who have faith in Jesus. And he promised, Jesus promised us that he will one day return and he will make all things right. He will judge the wicked. He will save his people. He will recreate the world. And those who have faith in him will inherit this perfect world with him forever, where there is no sin, there is no sadness, there is no sickness, there is no death. That is the inheritance of God's people. That is the inheritance of those who have faith in Jesus. So today, let me ask you, do you have faith in Jesus? If you say, no, Sean, I don't, but I want to. I want to receive this salvation that you're talking about. Then today, come to God and say, I know I have done wrong. I know I am a sinner. Forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you believe that in your heart, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. Maybe you would like to talk with someone about that today. Maybe you want someone to guide you in accepting this salvation. Maybe you want someone to answer questions or pray with you. If that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here after the service. I'm going to be waiting to talk with you. Do not leave here today without putting your faith in Jesus. Do not leave here today without experiencing this salvation. Friends, this message of salvation, it is the most important message in the world. And the world needs to hear it. We've seen different parts of this message, that salvation is for everyone. Salvation is God's plan, and salvation is in Jesus. So let's just think about that. If salvation is for everyone, if salvation is only found in Jesus, and if salvation is God's plan, if he has planned to save people, then doesn't that mean we should take the message to the world? Doesn't that mean that we should be sharing with our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates? Shouldn't we be going to the world with this message? And so here is what this Bible text challenges us to today. Here's what it asks us. Will you do it? Will you take the gospel to those who need to hear it? May we be people who take this message of salvation with courage and with joy so that others may hear it and may trust in Jesus and receive salvation in him. So let's commit ourselves this week, this year, let's commit ourselves to being messengers for Jesus in this world. We have a ritual that reminds us of this message of salvation, that reminds us of the gospel. And it is communion, or the Lord's Supper. When we take this small meal, we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. As we take this little piece of bread and we eat it as it is crunched between our teeth, and it is crushed, we are reminded of how Jesus' body was crushed for our salvation, how he gave himself for our sins. And then as we drink the juice, we are reminded that Jesus spilled his blood so that we could be in the family of God. You see, this little meal of the Lord's Supper reminds us of our salvation. We're going to take it together this morning. And if you are not a Christian, I ask that you don't take this meal. This is not for you. Instead, it calls you, the Bible calls you to respond in a different way, to trust in Jesus and receive salvation. So if you are not a Christian, don't take this. If you do take it and you are not a Christian, you are inviting the judgment of God on yourself. Instead, respond by trusting in Jesus right now for the salvation of your soul. So I'm going to be hanging around after the service again. If you want to make that decision, you want to talk to someone, I'm going to be waiting for you. But please do not take the Lord's Supper with us. Just let the plate pass as it comes by. If you are a believer in Christ, you are actively following Jesus, if you are obeying him, then take it with us. Our deacons are going to come forward in just a minute, and they're going to pass out the elements. It's a little different today. Instead of just one cup, there are two cups that are stacked on top of each other. Be sure to grab the bottom cup so you don't leave one in there. One cup has the bread, one has the juice. Okay, so they're going to be stacked on top of each other. Deacons will come, they will pass out the elements. And as the plates are being passed around, I encourage you to just take a moment to reflect. Take a moment to search your heart Is there any sin in your life that you have not confessed to God? Is there resistance to what he is doing in your life? Is there an attitude against God? Is there bitterness in your soul against somebody else? Is there this disobedience in your life in carrying out the mission of God, carrying the message to the world? Well, think about those things. Confess those things to God before you take this. And then, after you have confessed them, be reminded of what Jesus did for you. That he died for your sin. He suffered so that you could be forgiven. Be reminded and have joy as you take the Lord's Supper. So the plates will be passed around. Just grab the cups and then hold on to it. And once everybody has it, we will come back together and we will take it together. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much that salvation is in Jesus. It is not in anything in our lives, in our hearts, in our hands. Thank you that salvation is in Jesus. Thank you for entrusting this message to us. God, I pray that we would take the message to the world, we would take the gospel to the world so that others may hear and believe. Wake us up, Lord. Let us live for the purpose that you have called us to. Forgive us now for not being people who take the gospel to those who need to hear it. Forgive us for the shame that we have felt over sharing the gospel. Forgive us for the excuses that we have put for not sharing the gospel. Lord, forgive us. Remind us of this glorious salvation that we have in Jesus as we take the Lord's Supper today. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.